John chapter number 4 and also in Matthew chapter number 9. We're going to look at how to have a proper vision of the harvest. And the blind songwriter Fanny Crosby once was asked the question, is there anything worse than being blind? I don't know if that's a really a great question to ask somebody that's blind, but she was asked that. And her reply was, yes, to have sight and no vision. To have sight and no vision. See, vision is important. How we view things, how we see things. A proper vision is really important. And God in His Word gives us and casts for us a vision that we should have for the harvest, or talking about those who are lost, a vision for the world. And much of today's churches has the problem of being able to see physically, but not being able to see spiritually. And that's the whole idea of this year, is casting a vision, having a proper vision of what God's Word says about different subjects. And like I said, some of the subjects people aren't going to have a problem with. Some of the subjects people are going to get up and say amen, and people are going to be excited about, and people are going to be, yes, I agree with that. We need to have the right vision for this. We need to have the right vision for that. But when it comes to this idea of having a proper vision for the harvest, I think it's important that we understand what the Bible says. As we get ready for our annual missions conference, I think it's good that we have a right vision and a good understanding of what God expects from us. Here in John chapter number 4, many of us would know that this is the story when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And it's an amazing story. Scripture, there's just a lot in it. We're not going to spend the whole entire time about it. But Jesus was always working and always trying to bring people to Himself. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. He went to this woman that nobody else probably would have approached. He went to this woman that no one else, especially the women of that community, did not like. And He went to this woman because she needed a Savior. And He introduced herself to him. And when He came back and He won her to Christ, He won her to Himself, introduced Himself as the Messiah, she believed in Him, she ran off and took off. And it says in verse number 29, she went and told the whole city, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out to the city and they came unto Him. And in the meanwhile, while His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. So Jesus here, He had a spiritual vision of what was necessary and what was important. And they're coming to Him. And as soon as this woman takes off, they said, look, Master, you need to eat. But Jesus' response here is classic and shows us the importance of having a proper vision of the harvest. Verse number 32, but He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They didn't understand what He was saying. They didn't understand what He was talking about. They didn't even ask Him, Lord, what do you mean by that? Instead, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. He was saying that the disciples' concern was for meat, but the focus of the Savior was on men. You see what it says here in verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gather fruit unto life eternal, that both he and that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoiceth together. Now what the Bible is saying here, you see that disciples are focused on their food. They had headed out from this well and they went to the city and they went and bought food and came back. Now, you know who they passed on the way? They passed on people that they didn't talk to about the Lord. They didn't say, look, the Messiah is up there at the well. They didn't go to the Samaritans and say, because they don't usually have dealings with the Samaritans. They didn't go and say, hey, look, there's someone who can help you up at the well. When Jesus wins this woman to Christ, to Himself, this woman goes back and gathers the whole city. The whole city was ready to hear about Him. The whole city was ready to learn about Him. The whole city was willing to hear what Jesus had to say. And like I said, the disciples were concerned about meat. The Savior was concerned about men. Their interest was supper, but Jesus' interest was in souls. He told them to stop looking at the temporal meal and begin looking at the multitudes. At the very moment Jesus is teaching them this lesson, the woman is bringing the entire town following her as they come back, come to hear Him. And we must lift up our eyes and help the believers to catch this vision. We must help each other to catch this vision that there is a world. Look what it says in verse number 35 again. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So many times people say, oh, it's just not the right time to go soul winning. It's not just the right time to sell somebody. It's not the appropriate time. You got the wrong eye vision of the harvest. And you see our little eyeglasses up there. And I know some of you guys have made comments. Some of you talked about how they like the eyeglasses. I actually had to explain that to some people that didn't get it. It's a eye chart. And when you look through the glasses, it becomes clear. And all the other stuff is kind of blurry. And when we look through the glasses of the Bible, our vision becomes clear about certain things. And that's what Jesus is telling these guys. He says, look, you're just saying, hey, look, maybe sometime in the future. And Jesus says, look, it is now white unto the harvest. It is time now to win people to Christ. And so many times there, when I take my glasses off, I can see some, but it's really, really, you all look fuzzy. And I put my glasses on you. Now you look clear. For some of you, it'd probably be better if I left them off. No, I'm sorry. You know, there are a lot of people who make excuses and have this wrong idea what the harvest is like. You know, some people says that America has gone too far, that we can't, there's no sense even trying to work in the fields, but it doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. It just doesn't, there is no spot in the Bible where it tells us not to go. Instead, it tells us to go into all the world. There are some who says, it's someone else's job, not mine. You know what they've done? They've allowed some type of lie that the devil has put in their mind become a stronghold, and they just don't think it's their personal responsibility. Some people say, I can't do it. You know what? The Bible shows many people that brought different types of people to Christ, from young to old. You know, other people use the excuse, no one else is doing it, why should I? And we learned in Sunday school in the last few weeks about what a stronghold is, and that if we blame somebody else's inactivity or inability, the reason why we don't do something, that's what a stronghold is. That is a false lie the devil gives, and people protect themselves by saying, well, I do more than somebody else does. Another person might say, I can't, it can't be done. Some people say, well, there's no one learning, no one hearing. And others say, why bother? We can make up lots of excuses why we should not go soul winning, why we shouldn't look at the harvest and see it, that, you know what, it is white unto the harvest, that there are people's hearts that are ready to be one, like one to Christ. There's three things I like to help us get the right vision of the harvest about. There's three things I like to remind you in, and these are things I think are appropriate. These are things that are good, and these are things I think will be beneficial to us tonight. You can write them down if you want. This is how to get a proper vision of the harvest. The first one is the immediacy of the harvest. Immediacy of the harvest. Now, it's spelled I-M-M-E-D-I-A-C-Y. It is actually a word, and you might think I'm making that up. Sometimes preachers do make up words, so all the letters start with the same main points. But this is the immediacy of the harvest, or you can write down the importance of the harvest. Say, Pastor, what's the big deal? Well, see, I think it's found right here in verse number 35. It talks about how the harvest is white unto harvest. It's ready to be harvested. And many of you know, if you've ever raised a garden, you know that there is a certain time for it to be harvested. There's a certain time for it to be picked out of the garden, because if it's left there too long, what happens to it? It dies. It rots. You think about it. I picture, and I've been to Mr. Dean's house. I've seen his harvest fields when they are cotton, and it's really cool looking when it's all white. It's kind of ugly looking when you're driving by those harvest fields, those cotton fields, and to me, it's not very attractive. But when they're white and they've sprouted out and they're ready for harvest, it's something that's very attractive. And it's ready to be picked. And the point is, if we do not pick the harvest fields, it's going to die. Paul Rader, an old-time evangelist, used to tell the story of a great wheat harvest in Australia that rotted in the fields during World War I. Because so many of the men had responded to the call of the military, nobody was left to gather the grain harvest. It was a case that he used to say, reap or rot. You say, what are you getting at? It's the idea, if we're not going to harvest the fields, people are going to die without Christ. And it's the idea that it is ripe. It is ready to be harvested. There are people that are ready to be won to Christ, but if we don't bring them to Christ, they're going to die without Christ. If your focus is only in America, you might find this hard to believe. Because you say, well, there's nobody anywhere that wants to hear anymore. And I don't think that's true. There are people that want to hear, and there are people that want to learn. But if you travel to many foreign countries, you'll see that the story of Jesus comes alive. You read our missionary letters, and you hear some talk about how hundreds were won to Christ. You say, oh, I don't believe that. I think it's true. America has become hard-hearted and cold-hearted to the things of God. But as we read missionary letters, we hear stories of many people responding to the truth of the gospel. That the harvest in America may seem to be slim, many places around the globe are ready to be reaped. And you say, oh, what does that have to do with us? I'm glad you asked. See, there is plenty to be reaped, but there is not that many reapers. And there is many missionaries that are willing to go over and serve and to reap the harvest, but they need a way to go. And God uses churches like ours and people like us to help give so that way they can go and reap the harvest. God commands us to evangelize. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Acts chapter 1, talks about the Great Commission. They're supposed to be all carried out, and it's immediately. And Paul was right when he said, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe, when we believed. You know, it is high time that we take a look at this understanding. We awake out of our sleep when it comes to this idea of the harvest, and we wake up and realize death does not wait. Death does not wait. We many times have seen a funeral, and sometimes people taken too early. Sometimes people who have lost their life maybe 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ahead of time than we thought that they would have lived. Death doesn't wait for anyone. And the harvest fields are not going to wait. After people preach in foreign countries, God many times will use them to bring people to Christ. And are we doing our part? Not just to reach our Jerusalem, but are we doing our part to reach out to the world? Now you say, Pastor, what are you saying? There's two different things. Yes, there's us telling those about Christ because they could die without Christ and they might be ready to be won to Christ. God is talking about his harvest fields, but also there are those that are ready to hear that have never heard the word of God before. I remember reading an illustration from a story. A preacher went to Africa, went to a village. A man received Christ and was joyfully excited. And after a few seconds, he was burdened. He looked at the preacher and said, "Why did you not come to our village sooner? Both my mother and father have died and gone to the hell that you spoke of." Death just does not wait for anyone. And we need to realize it's important. It's immediacy. It's important that the harvest be reaped. The second thing I want you to think about is the incredible size of the harvest. Go ahead and take your Bible to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. Jesus himself uses this word multitudes. And this word multitude is talking about throngs and large numbers of people. The word plenteous that you're going to see in verse number 37 is defined as great and large and abundant. And here Jesus is talking about the masses. And Matthew chapter 9 and verses 36 through 38, the word of God says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." It's an incredible size how big the harvest is. And sometimes I've been to different farmers' field and I see their crops, and they go and they go and they go. Sometimes you can't even see the whole crops because of sight, because your eyes just can't see that far. And today there is almost nearly 7 billion people who are alive on this earth. The entire population of the U.S. is probably over 300 million. So the world's population is 20 times bigger than that in America. And that's a staggering number to human beings. Some missionary leaders estimate that over half the world have never ever heard the name Jesus Christ. And that over 75% of that almost 7 billion people have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Now, when we come to Elizabeth City and you see that it has maybe 20,000 people in it, and then you have the little outlying towns, and then you see inside these towns in Elizabeth City, there's three independent Baptist churches. And there's even others, gospel-preaching churches. But if you consider the world that there is millions and billions who have never, ever heard a true, clear presentation of the gospel, you know what? The multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision is what Joel spoke about. And that's the day and time we live in. There is multitudes upon multitudes of people who have never heard the gospel. And that's why Jesus is saying the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He's saying, look, if you go and you get the right vision of the harvest, the first thing you got to see, it's important, because if you leave that too long, that crop is going to die. If the whiteness, when it ripes, it becomes white. When the cotton becomes white, it becomes ripe. It comes time to pick it. But after a while, you know what happens? It begins to change colors. It begins to lose its value to the point where it becomes useless and dies. And that's what happens to many people, is that they may be ready to hear the gospel, the word of God, the preaching of the word of God. And that's why God tells us to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. And it's ripe unto harvest. It's important that we go. It's important that we send. And consider how incredible the size of it is. Over 40 million people die annually, with an estimated 39 million of them being unsaved. The population of hell is always increasing. These statistics are not just numbers. Each and every one of them is a soul for whom Jesus died. And the evangelist said, reap or rot, describes a wheat harvest. But in our soul harvest, we can say either they are redeemed or ruined. Oh, that we could see how big the harvest field is. Oh, that we could just learn to reach our corner of the harvest field. Oh, that we could just learn to see that it is our responsibility and that God has given us Elizabeth City to reach out and to reach for Jesus Christ. Oh, that we could learn to just not talk about it, but to tell people about Jesus Christ. To ask God to give us a burden, to ask God to help us to try to bring people to Jesus Christ. This is what our church is for. It is a place where we should be able to raise our families. But we should have a vision for the world. Yes, it is a place where we should feel safe and come and worship together and fellowship together as believers. But it was intended for at church, in that first century church, to see fruit. To see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I would guess that there's people in this room who did not give a presentation of the gospel to anyone in the past year. Are we doing our part? So we don't consider the incredible size of the harvest. We don't see how big it is, and that how we have a responsibility to reach our Jerusalem. And I know that people give. I know that our missions giving per the amount of people in our church is very good. And I am thankful for the fact that we support almost 50 missionaries. And I'm thankful for the fact that we're going to have a missions conference. And we do have a burden in some ways, but many times we have written the check where we're supposed to be telling somebody also. The third thing, not only do I want you to see the importance of the harvest, I want you to see the incredible size of the harvest, but I want you to see the increase in the harvesters, that an increase in the harvesters is needed. And an increase in the harvesters is needed. Look what it says here, once again, but the laborers are few. And what does it say in verse number 38? I think this is the only time when Jesus gives us something specific, a certain prayer request to pray for. And what is this? It says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. After 20 centuries of the church history, you think things would get better, right? After 20 centuries of hearing this message and people preaching it over and over, you would think there would be more harvesters today than there was 100 years ago. But the sad truth is people really just don't want to do it anymore. It's disconnected. I mean, how many preachers and evangelists and churches are really soul conscious? How many congregations do we know that is on fire for evangelism? I am just as guilty as most. I do not tell as much as I should. And I'm asking the Lord to help me with that. I do tell others. And I do try to bring people to Christ. And I make up excuses just like all of us do. The very term soul winning is scorned by so many. And even when I talk about preaching about soul winning, you know, sometimes people just disconnect just like that. It doesn't matter how many verses we show, doesn't matter how many illustrations we give, doesn't matter how many numbers we say, there are some people who will go around unchanged. And the Bible says in Proverbs 10:15, he that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. What the word of God is saying there in Proverbs chapter 10 is like if you're sleeping through the harvest. Which is what the disciples did. They went to Samaria, they got their food, they came back, they slept through the harvest. They didn't tell one soul that there was the Messiah sitting up there. They never told one person about the help they could have had and received. And many times this is what we're doing is we are sleeping through the harvest and we need God's help. We need God to teach us and show us. It's not some starter program. That's what it says in verse number 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth his laborers into the harvest. We need to be close to God, loving God, so he can show us and so he can use us. I've never heard of a missionary field having too many missionaries. I've heard some people say that there's too many independent Baptist churches in one city. Somebody even looked and say 20,000 people in Elizabeth City, we don't need any more independent Baptist churches. But you go up and down the streets, you know what? There are so many people lost. There's so many people that are dying and going to hell. And many times we just don't care. And it's, you know, would another church be better? Or would it be best for us to care and reach out and help? Our churches are not overflowing. Our churches are not growing by leaps and bounds. And I'm not saying that it always has to be that way. But I am saying that God does desire that we go out and tell others. I've never heard of a missionary field having too many missionaries, but I've heard stories about how missionaries have gone with nationals into cities and said, there's 500,000 people that live in this city and there's no gospel preaching church. You can go over to the West Coast, you can go up in the North Pacific area, and there are places and cities that do not have a church on every corner that has no gospel message being preached. And you know what? The harvest fields are great. They are huge, and they are important that we do our part with. Say, Pastor, are you saying that I should go? I'm saying that we should be as close to God as we can and let God tell us if we should go or not. Because the Bible says here, it says, pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Many times, pastors get discouraged because there's not people surrendering for full-time service. Many times they say, why isn't more people answering the call? Why aren't more missionaries willing to go? Why aren't more people? The truth is, have we been praying? Is Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38 on our prayer sheets? Is it something that we should be asking God for? But see, when we ask God for this, many times God is going to give us a burden to go and reach our communities. And that scares us. When we say, Lord, please send forth laborers into his harvest, you know what he's going to say first? Are you going? And many times we just aren't willing to go. Now, I know what you're going to say. I just can't speak right. Moses tried to use that excuse too. And God helped him. And there is different ways that each and every one of us can be involved in some type of ministry and effort of winning people to Jesus Christ. Say, Pastor, you want me to go down the worst street in Elizabeth City in the middle of the night and go knock doors. Now, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we should use our influence and every opportunity we have to reach people for Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying you need to beat people over the head. What I'm saying is be close to God. Be interested in God's thoughts. Be interested in what God is interested in. Have a true vision of the harvest. See Elizabeth City as ripe to the harvest. Jesus is telling him, look, to the disciples, he says, look, you say that there's 4 months. He says, if you lift up your eyes, they're white unto the harvest. There are so many people who need Christ today, but we just look at the harvest fields and say, oh, it's not that big. There's not that many people. If I don't do it, somebody else will do it. They have the wrong vision of the harvest field. No matter how many Christians get involved, there will always still be more work to do. That's because of the immense size of the harvest. And it's important. Because if we don't reap, people are going to die without Christ. The need for harvesters. It's important. We need more harvesters. Tonight, what is your view of the harvest? Now, how do you really look at what Jesus is talking about here when he's telling disciples, look up their eyes? How do you see people? Do you see people as souls that are either going to heaven or going to hell? How do you see the people that are all across the world where you can see that God is working in people's hearts and lives, and you hear stories about people being brought to Christ, and we rejoice in that, but do we give to make sure that continues on happening? But my main focus is tonight, because I believe if God got a hold of our heart about our own mission field, God will give to the other mission fields. But so often we just do not see a need. I'm thankful that God loved me and that he sent his son down the cross to die for me. I'm thankful for the man who preached the word of God that night that I got saved. I'm thankful for the person that took my mom to church. She drove the neighbor and says, hey, can I take your little girl to church? That brought my mom to church. Same story about my dad. You know, can I take the little boy to church? And they cared about him. And while at church, they got saved. And because they got saved and they got married, they wanted to raise a Christian home. And because of that, they were interested in the harvest. And I was one to Christ because I went to church and I heard the preaching of the gospel. And because of that, my wife's parents took her to church and we're trying to raise a family. You see how it goes? Somebody has to be interested in this harvest. Someone has to care. Someone has to be willing to go and tell somebody. Most of the time we don't. And the question is why? The excuse really isn't that good. We can make up lots of reasons. But are we truly telling other people about Jesus Christ? Let God work in your heart and life. Don't close off the message. Don't run to the stronghold that it's going to tell you you don't have to do it. But instead, prayerfully consider giving your heart over to God when it comes to telling somebody else about Jesus Christ. Don't worry about how you're going to do it. Don't worry about when you're going to do it. Don't worry about how it's going to accomplish, what's going to happen if you do it. Just give your heart, surrender to what God has to do, tell you to do, and let him take over. Let him take control. Just be faithful when he speaks to your heart. When he says to you, give out a tract, or when he says, hey, talk to that waitress, or when he says, talk to that neighbor, don't say no. Just be faithful in listening to what God desires for you to do. Say, Pastor, it's been a long time since I heard from God. But there's something wrong there then. There's something broken in the fellowship part. And it's a sin problem that we need to get fixed. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How do you view the harvest tonight? Do you truly see it as an immediate need? A need where people are dying without Christ,